due to some violent content. Parental discretion is advised.
Wait a second. This is Mr. Roman Reigns. You are exactly who I was looking for.
You've been looking for me. The only time you've ever looked for me is when you're running your mouth on Twitter.
I'm WWE superstar John Cena, and you're listening to The Pain Clinic on Sports Radio 1280 WHTK. Listen and feel the pain.
The time has come to relieve that pain, which will be better for me, but not so enjoyable for all of you.
The Pain Clinic Pro Wrestling Talk Show. Can you feel the pain?
Wrestling fans, welcome to the Pain Clinic for August 26th. Just a couple holidays today. Today's National Dog Day. All you dogs out there, it's your day. They always say a dog never has its day, but today is National Dog Day. And it's Women's Equality Day. So I'll be nice to women's wrestling on the show today. Real quick, birthdays today. Master of the Canadian Destroyer, Petey Williams, is 36. And if you don't know who Petey Williams is, go back and look at some old TNA footage from back, I don't know, towards the beginning of TNA. Petey Williams was a very important part of TNA. He was the X-Division champion a few times, won some Feast or Fired things and whatever. But Petey Williams from, I believe, Detroit. Detroit or London, Ontario. He's up about that way. He is, today's 36. The Pain Clinic's brought to you by Salvatore's Old Fashioned Pizzeria, Palmer's Food Service, Donuts Delight, Empire at Culver. Join us September 9th for UFC 215 at Salvatore's Saloon and Salvatore's at the Garage Door, 149 East Ridge Road, 10 p.m. start time. Get there early, hosted by us. There'll be drink specials all night long. That's adult beverages, of course, and even some kids ones, I'm sure. September 9th at Salvatore Saloon and Salvatore's at the Garage Door, UFC 215. And don't forget, yes, it's happening tonight. Something we all can't wait for it to be over, I think, you know, because the hype is just killing everybody. Tonight is the McGregor-Mayweather fight, and I think there still might be a couple seats at Salvatore's at the Garage Door. $20 will get you a seat, but you might want to call them up early this morning or maybe, you know, when they open and see if you can get those seats, because I believe that once 8 o'clock comes around, I think they're not letting any more people in. So if you don't have your seat by then, you're not going to get a seat. But if you want to see the McGregor-Mayweather fight and you think this, you're actually buying into the hype, I know that you're Buffalo Bills fans too, because you're believing the Bills are going to the Super Bowl, right? Because you believe the hype, right?
Actually, this is one of the rare preseasons where I feel like Buffalo fans have absolutely zero hope for the season.
You're probably right too. And I apologize. Pam Rapp, who just did that segment before the show started. She was talking about that. You can keep the notch low this year, hang the pegs low on it, because you're not going to, don't expect too much. But you know what? We'll see what happens as the season gets going. But usually the fans about this point are like thinking Super Bowl. They're buying their tickets. They're reserving their hotel rooms. And it's like, unfortunately, because that's the way we buy the hype in this town.
Just you wait, though. If they win week one, everything changes.
They'll put like 3-4 wins together, and then they'll be like 3-12 at the end of the season. Nevertheless, that tonight is the McGregor-Mayweather fight. You can see it at Salvatore's at the Garage Door, $20. $50. I think, like I said, you better get your tickets soon or you're going to shut out because I believe once the fights start, I think it starts at 8 o'clock or, yeah.
Nine o'clock.
There is a couple pre-fights. So, and these things go 12 rounds. So you better, you know, make sure that you, you know, your 5 hour energy down before you go and that you, you know, you have a couple cups of coffee. Because it probably will go late, but you can stop in at 149 East Ridge Road, buy your seat before it's too late. Hey, interested in roller derby? Do you want to skate? Maybe officiate? How about Rock City Roller Derby needs you? Contact recruitment at rockderbyrecruitment@gmail.com and join Rock City Roller Derby. I am the Cash Man. I am back. I am here with DC Dan Cole, who held the reins of the show very well last week. Thank you so much for doing that.
Thank you, and good morning.
Good morning. And we have Double B Brian Burke.
Good morning.
Double B and Double B's entourage, we'll call him Peanut Butter, PB, Peter Brook, Peter Burke, sorry.
PB. Even when he asks for his name, he can't get it right.
I got it right, PB. Yeah, well, it's, you know, this because before we had the two Double B's in there, but now we got PB and BB and DC. So it's like it's a bunch of initials in the other studio, and I'm the Cash Man. We're here to talk the world of pro wrestling. What did I miss in the last week? Anything big?
Oh, Saturday, quite a lot. On Sunday, not so much.
Yeah, so we had the SummerSlam and an NXT takeover. And, you know, I think just we can talk a little bit about, if you guys want to talk about the pay-per-view, what, you know, your predictions, what you thought was going to happen, what happened, were you surprised, were you not, give us a call, 222-1280, star 1280. I will start off by saying I know I missed this last week, but, I mean, I thought it was just the dumbest thing is to have Corbin fail with the Money in the Bank right before the pay-per-view. I know you guys probably, I know you talked about it, but it's like, I'm just dumbfounded by that. I mean, we're going back to, Miz Dow, you know, cause he's the only one, I think he failed with it too, didn't he?
Miz and John Cena are the only other people to fail on a cash-in.
Yeah. And, well, now there's added a new one to it. They were supposed to build up heat for the fight that was a terrible pay-per-view match.
And we were all wrong last week cause we said, okay, Corbin gets made out to look like an idiot and look bad on Tuesday. Certainly that means he goes over in stunning fashion at SummerSlam, right?
No.
Would have only made sense.
No. Well, you know, but I guess one good thing you can say about that, it was John Cena's swan song for SmackDown. And
what better way to go out than bury a young and up-and-coming talent?
Yeah, bury the guy who was supposed to win the title. You know, maybe up until, you know, just a few days before that, he still was the guy who could have won the title at any time.
Well, if you read the dirt sheets and you believe the rumors, there's been plenty of heat, apparently, on Corbin.
Really?
For things he's doing. And the person that decided that his push should be shuttered was none other than John Cena.
Oh, really? Oh, boy. So when he leaves the company, then we'll really hear the real story, right?
You know? Wouldn't be the first person we've heard that from.
I was going to say, there's another guy who was wrestling, who was on a Glow TV show that had quite a few things to say about John Cena controlling his fate in the WWE.
You keep Steel Horse out of this, okay?
Yeah, Steel Horse, yeah. Well, but nevertheless, that's kind of shocking. I mean, you know, as much as everyone loves that guy, he does have that political clout power in the back. You know, I think, and I heard that one of the major reasons they brought him to Raw, too, was for ratings, because they think that, you know, he's a ratings getter. I guess we'll find out when we see what happens in the next couple weeks, but I don't know. I mean, you know, and then throwing him against a guy who everyone boos, so you have the boo fest going on while they're out there, you know. I don't know. I'm not sold on, I mean, obviously he's not at the top of the card anymore. They're not putting him in the title shot, at least. I'll give him that, you know.
I don't know. Thankfully there is, I mean, it's not all bad for Raw per se, because I think at SummerSlam, their main event, the main event of the evening was the best match, because they just let four beast guys go out there and do nothing but a spot fest for 15 minutes.
Oh, I agree. And you know, and they got, and I think what they tried to get over was, that Brock Lesnar's human, and they tried to make it, you know, obviously from the beginning of the match, to having him, you know, actually get, you know, carried out, taken out, and
I'm getting tired of that though. They get carried out and then they come back, or they leave and then they come back.
Oh, it happens all the time. It's all a ploy, you know. I mean, listen, I think I gotta hate to say it, but I think one of the my favorite things from SummerSlam was Shawn Michaels dressed up like Colonel Sanders. Okay,
HBKFC.
I just busted. I started laughing when I saw that.
I think the thing that did surprise me the most about the main event, which I wasn't surprised that Lesnar won. I'm surprised that he pinned Reigns clean.
Yeah, yeah. That just goes to show you that their little one-on-one's not happening for a while. You know, they're going to, because of the way also Strowman's reaction from the crowd on Monday night. I mean, they were chanting his name. I mean, I think ever since he's had that roar music coming out. Roar! You know, it's like ever since they've been using that, people have just gotten loud every time he comes out. And now they're chanting his name. I think, they're making a monster. And it's like, hopefully this guy nothing bad happens to him physically, because he's probably bound to make a ton of money this year in the WWE.
There were a lot of great spots in that match, but the one that I think I'll never forget is when he threw that chair.
Yes, they brought back the throwing of the chair.
Perfect aim.
There was some good stuff on the pay-per-view. I don't take it away from what I'm saying. SummerSlam had some great matches. I thought both tag team matches were really good. In fact, the Usos before the pay-per-view started.
Both tag team matches were outstanding.
Yeah.
And it's just a shame one was on the pre-show.
Yeah, and I'm happy to see that. We're going to finally get the reunion of the Shield or whatever, the mini Shield. I don't know what we're going to call it. We'll call it two thirds
half Shield.
Yeah, half Shield, two thirds Shield. But you know, obviously, we know that's building up for something else. So it's like, but you know, that's usually how a really good feud starts, is by making two guys become tag champs. You know, so, and I think I believe me, both those guys need something to spark them, because I don't think they've been kind of slowly getting pushed down the card a little bit. So
it's amazing with all the talent on Raw and the 3 hours of time to fill, and they don't know what they're doing with 90% of the talent they have.
Yeah,
it's the impression I get whenever I watch Raw. That's why I prefer SmackDown, because it's a 2 hours a show and there's no filler.
No.
And at times I'm like, it's over already? I mean, that was 2 hours.
I have problems with long introductions for for instance, they have the multi-women match on SmackDown this past week, and you have to sit through everybody's introduction. And then, of course, Glow Lady comes out at the end, and you've got to shut all the lights off and, have her dance around and stuff. I mean, listen, I think that's spectacular looking. It looks really cool. But when you get used to seeing the same thing every week, it's like, okay, it's not.
Save it for the pay-per-view.
Yeah, yeah. You know, like the snake where Randy Orton was walking down the snake mouth, Well, I got to tell you, folks, we've got a lot of wrestling to talk, SummerSlam, and we're going to have a special guest in the next segment. Ivan Putski is going to be in town. Polish Power Ivan Putski, if you're a fan.
Tonight.
It's tonight. And tomorrow, he's going to be at the baseball game today. You can catch him at Frontier Field from 5 to 6:30. And tomorrow he'll be at Webster Columbus Center. And of course, at 70 Barrett Drive in Webster from 12:30 to 2. Autographs are $20, which include an 8x10. And you can, if you want to do a selfie, he'll charge you $20 for a selfie. Both are sponsored by Collector Fest Monthly. He's going to be on in our next segment to promote his appearance at the Frontier Field tonight. And, this is old school. This guy, when I was a younger gentleman, I grew up on, Ivan Putski, Polish Power Ivan Putski. He was like one of those guys. I mean, it looked like $1 million, out there. I did some searching on the WWE Network, and he's got a ton of matches on there too, Yes, it's before Vince Jr. took over, I think, a lot of things, and it's, pre-Hulk Hogan days, but he was there as Hulk Hogan took over, and he kind of retired a couple of years after that happened, but he's going to be on with us in the next segment. Might as well go to break right now. If you want to get on the show, 222-1280, Star 1280, we talk about anything, but we're going to take a break right now. Come back with the Polish Power, Ivan Putski. You're listening to the Pain Clinic on Fox Sports 1280.
Shall be perpetrated by Brock Lesnar. And if there's conquering to be accomplished, there ain't nobody in WWE or UFC history that can conquer anything like the one and only ruler of the WWE Universe, the reigning, defending, undisputed Universal Champion, Brock! Why?
So this is what a sold-out Bars case looks like. I wouldn't know.
It's Barclays. Barclays. Marbles out of mouth speak. Continue. Oh, it's good to see you, by the way.
People over here, what's up? If you feel me, say what's up. Just kidding. Time for some real music.
This is Brutus the Barber Beefcake. Hey, you're listening to the Pain Clinic.
All right, welcome back to the Pain Clinic. What's up? What's up? We sang that on the air. Remember we sang that on the air and then buddy Brian called and complained about us singing on the radio?
We sang you it never told me what's up.
we sang it for 5 minutes on the air. It was terrible. 222. We're going to go to Five and Putsky in just a second here, but we're going to take a quick call first. 222-1280, star 1280. It's Rashawn. What's up, buddy?
Hey, good morning, guys. And like you said, I'll be very, very quick. Yeah. I got one thing from NXT TakeOver I just cannot let go, and that is the finish from the... Did I get lost?
Did you? No, you're here still. I hear you.
Oh, there you go. The finish from the curtain jerking match, I mean, like, she threw in the t-shirt. That's equivalent to throwing in the towel. That should have ended the match in favor of Johnny Wrestling. I just can't let it go.
Gotcha. Yeah. Well, what do you guys think?
I think it's nitpicking just to nitpick. I loved that little touch of let's distract him by throwing a t-shirt in his face that just so happens to be the t-shirt from his old tag team.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. You know, I mean, it's maybe it's reminding people who he was, you know, because and that's not like he's been gone that long, but he was out for a bit, you know. I don't know. I mean, listen, this guy's got so many great things ahead of him. You know, don't let this little bump here, this implied bump that you think stop anything with this guy, because this guy's going to be on TV soon, too. I would not be surprised at all. I mean, listen, Bobby Roode showed up this past week. This guy is just as good, if not better.
Regardless of the outcome as well, it was a great match to watch, regardless of the outcome.
Oh, yeah, it was absolutely great. But they keep bringing back some of the old finishes to try to make them new again.
Yeah.
And to throw in it, and that's what I thought. When I saw it happen, I was like, I throw in the towel finish. Okay, because, you know, Gargano was up. I throw in the towel finish. I thought that was the finish. And the fact that it was just ignored by commentary, ignored overall, and that was where, you know, that's a legit finish. In the rules, I was just done. I couldn't let it go.
Okay.
Have a great day, guys.
Okay.
Okay, number one.
Yeah.
It wasn't a towel.
Yeah, it was a t-shirt. Yeah.
So your argument is invalid. Next.
Okay, well, we'll just keep it at that and say that the only time I really ever remember something like that happening was Bob Backlund actually lost his title to the Iron Sheik in 1983, right before the beginning of Hulkamania. His manager came in because he was in the camel clutch and he could not tap out, so he threw the towel in. You know, that's how rare those kind of endings are. So why don't we get to our guest on the phone? The Cashman, and joining us now is a WWE Hall of Famer, a man who I grew up watching as a child and made me love wrestling. Is a former WWE Tag Team Champ with Tito Santana. It's Polish Power Ivan Putski. Thank you so much for the time today.
Well, it's my pleasure, and I just can't wait to come down there and see my old fans. You know, my Polish Army's still down there intact, I'm sure, so... I just want to invite all my fans to come down, and I'll be glad to take pictures with you, give you autographs, and just have a good time.
Cool. Not only are you going to be there on Saturday, but Sunday you're going to be at the Collector Fest monthly show that Ernie O has at the Columbus Center. That'll go 10A to 3. And so if fans can't make it to the ball game, they definitely can catch you from 12:30 to 2 the next day at Ernie O's show. But thank you so much for the time. I'm a huge fan. I grew up being a big fan of yours. And it's like, I always wondered, how did you develop your finishing hold was the Polish hammer. How did you come around about doing that, figuring out that to be your finishing move? When you were
You know, when I was a little kid, I used to in Poland. There was my grandfather had a sack, and it was full of corn. You know, not the ones that's already taken off the cob. And I used to go when I was a little baby, well, 2-3 years old, and I used to just punch it all the time. And then one day I got my hands together, and I said, man, that makes it even better, bigger punch. So and it just developed as I grew up. I just kept doing it, and then, you know, just force a habit, and that's, then I ended up be a lot kind of lifesaver to me. I used to started using it when I started wrestling.
I was going to say, you would warm the people up by hitting them from behind a few times before you'd throw them off the ropes.
Oh yeah, yeah. I'd hit them anywhere I can. You know, that's right. That was my final blow to when I threw them against the ropes. And they would catapult from the rope, boy, and I'll tell you, I used to knock the heck out of them.
Are you surprised at all that nobody has ever picked that up as a finishing hold since you stopped doing it?
Well, you know, there's an art to it. You just can't pick it up and do it. There's angles you got to know how to, throw your both arms in an angle. And you got to know how to set it up. It takes time. That's of course, I've done it just about all my life, so, you know, it just came natural to me.
I was going to say, and it's not, I mean, some people would say maybe the heart punch is similar to it, but it definitely, the Polish hammer, I remember you used to plow the guy straight down into the mat when you made contact with him.
That's right. I mean, it was the, this is what you call a blow. See, the other things the other wrestlers do is punching and throwing them down, but this is a really a massive blow to the body, and they feel it when I throw it. And you know, grew up doing that, and just the promoter said, man, you ought to start using that in the ring, you know, whenever I used to practice when I was younger. Joe Blanchard's the one who really encouraged me using that, you know, in the ring. And once I started doing that, I knew it really worked.
Cool. And, you know, a lot of people might not know this or not, but you also used to compete in the World's Strongest Man competitions too, right?
That's right. I was in the World's Strongest Man competition and weightlifting. I'll tell you, I just almost did it, just about everything. Played pro football in Canada with Toronto Rifles at the time, and made all conference fullback, running back at Southwest Texas State College. Yeah, man, I've been around.
That's cool. I was going to say, Southwest Texas is famous for having a lot of pro wrestlers come out of that school, too, I think.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah.
Very cool.
Now, I was the first one, and then we used to get these get-togethers every so many years, and I used to go down and encourage a lot of them, you know. But, yeah, that's I'm really looking forward to coming down there.
Very cool. We're very, very excited to have you come. You know, we really didn't get to see you in the Northeast here until you came to the WWF at one time, and you did tag with Tito Santana.
Yeah.
You did, and you won the titles off of the Valiant Brothers, but then that started, but you also then handed them to the Samoans after that, and that's really, I remember the Samoans were so dominant at that time too, but
yeah,
it was a great time in the world of wrestling. Now let's talk a little bit about 1995. You were inducted into the WWF Hall of Fame by your son Scott. Now, where does that stand on your achievements list in the business?
Well, I'd say that'd be right there on top, number one. That's the greatest thing ever happened to me besides marrying my high school sweetheart.
That's awesome. That's and having your son put you in, too, that's got to be even better, you know?
Oh, yeah, that was really great.
Cool. What kind of a relationship do you have now with the WWE?
I never hear. I just never hear from them, and you know, it just I kind of isolated from them, you know, because I never hear from them. They never hear from me because I'm not gonna call them up. But you know, I was just fortunate to work under Vince McMahon Sr. That's Vince McMahon's dad. That's who was promoting when I was in New York wrestling on top. It was Vince McMahon Sr. Once he passed away, you know, I didn't like the change. And so I put in my 20 years. Me and Bruno worked for WWF longer than any wrestler in history. So I figured after 20 years, I'm going to, that's plenty. And I retired after young Vince took over.
You kind of left during that whole transition period where Hulk Hogan came in and it changed the whole business. Is that something that maybe, you said, you know what, maybe it's time for these younger guys to come in, or is that something you just felt like you just weren't happy with the way that the business was going at that time?
Well, it was going all right, but you're right. That's everything you came in, and I'm from the old school, and I like the, Vince McMahon Sr.'s tradition, the way he ran it, and I just didn't think, I just figured I had enough. I put in enough time, and it was just perfect time for me to retire.
Cool. I remember seeing you many, many times here in Rochester at the Blue Cross Arena.
Yeah.
War Memorial.
Yeah. Rochester, boy. I used to love coming down there. My Polish Army's base there, you know.
That's
and,
right.
Man, I really look forward. And I used to come down there all the time. Matter of fact, I used to tell Vince McMahon Sr., I said, hey, Mr. McMahon, come on, book me a little more at down there, and he did. He said, oh, you really like it? I said, heck yeah, I like it. I like the people and everybody down there. Just a nice environment when I used to go to Rochester. Real friendly people, you know. I felt real comfortable.
Cool. I was going to say, you've had some amazing things happen before the modern era of wrestling started. You actually got to wrestle twice at Shea Stadium in front of those massive crowds.
Yeah, that's right.
And so what was that like? You know, back then there wasn't crowds that big in the United States, but you were getting like 45,000 people there in Shea Stadium.
Yeah, that was one of the biggest. Man, I can't believe you remember that. Yeah, that's the first time we went into a huge arena. And, man, we just packed them in there. And when I came out there, all those bright lights and the people just roaring. It was like I was in another planet.
Now, you've had some incredible feuds in your career along the way. Who would you say is probably the biggest feud you had with? What wrestler do you have the biggest feud with in your career?
Well, there were... I think there were several of them, but the biggest ones was Superstar Billy Graham and Frank Goodish.
Yeah, I was going to say Superstar Billy Graham had the title, and you got quite a few matches with him when he was the champion.
Oh yeah, we had a good feud going, yeah.
And he is, and then, you know, and both were power wrestlers, and it was like, and you had the fans behind you. He, on the other hand, not so much.
Right.
So you,
yeah, he did. He had, you know, he had a lot of fans behind him, too. We had about an equal amount, so that's what made it so good, you know?
That's true, and you got just an incredible time in the world of wrestling, really the one step before.
It really was, yeah. That's right. It was just, it's a lot different now from what I saw, you know, seen on TV.
Yeah, do you ever get a chance to catch it nowadays? And,
when I flip through it, you know, just to... reminisce, I'll stop, and it's just I'll look at it for about 5 minutes, then it was just so different that, you know, I just say no, it's nothing like it was. But I check it out, see, you know, what kind of stars they got and who's doing what, but I don't watch it, you know, like I should.
Sure. Well, you know, no one says you have to, I'll say. But you did one time make it on Raw's War in 1997. You and your son took on Jerry Lawler and his son. What kind of kind of fun experience?
Oh, man. Now, that's what you call old-time wrestling, boy. We really got after it, and it was a good experience, you know. It was so different, and, man, people just packed that stadium.
I was going to say, people can see you wrestle. I think if they type in your name on the WWE network, some matches of yours will come up on there. A lot of the old school Madison Square Garden matches are on there. And so,
oh,
you know,
really?
I think so. I think
I didn't know the WWE network.
Yeah, so check out the WWE network and you catch them. But I want to ask you one last thing before I let you go. Now, you're coming to do an autograph signing. You're going to be here Saturday at the ballpark between 5 and 7, signing at the ballpark. And hopefully you get to throw the first pitch out. Now, I think they're going to let you do that. I think they're going to ask. They're going to ask you to do that. So,
great, man. Oh, who's playing?
Well, I know the Red Wings are. I'm not sure what the other. Oh, it's the second other team is from Buffalo. So,
okay, I'd be glad, delighted to do that.
A little 90, Route 90 rivalry, we call it. They're an hour away. So, but you're going to hopefully you're going to be throwing the. I think you're going to be throwing the first pitch out. Now, do you attend a lot of these autograph signings? Is this something you do often, or is this kind of like a rarity?
I wouldn't say a rarity, but I turn a lot of people down, you know, like as I get a lot of calls from California and all over, you know, but the ones that I always go to is New York and that area when I work for Vince McMahon. Now, those are my best times, and flying to California and all the way out there, I just... it just takes too long, and, you know, I get flight.
Sure.
Flying all that way, I just don't like it.
Sure. Well, then we are honored to have you this Saturday and Sunday coming to our little neck of the woods, Rochester, New York. I want to thank you for the time today on the show. I want to let everyone know, like I said before, you can catch Ivan Polish, Power Putski, 5 to 7 tonight. That's tonight at the ballpark with the Red Wings. And you can catch him on Sunday from 12:30 to 2 at the Collector Fest Monthly. That's right. Columbus Center, 870 Barrett Drive in Webster. Thank you so much for the time. Thank you so much for the time and for giving us, and we cannot wait to see you come to town here, and maybe you give like a mascot or two a Polish Hammer and you put them in their place, you know?
There you go. Well, it was my pleasure talking to you, and I'm glad I could talk to all my old fans out in Rochester, New York, and that whole area, and God bless everybody, and I'm looking forward to seeing y'all.
Thank you very much, sir. And on that note, we're going to go to break. What a great interview, Mr. Polish Power, Ivan Putski is. Don't forget to miss him today. We'll be back on the flip side. You are listening to Pain Clinic on Fox Sports 1280.
Ladies and gentlemen, I promised you a surprise here tonight. For the first time in over a year on the Monday Night Raw, please join me in welcoming John Cena!
Hi, this is Bobby Roode, and you're listening to the Pain Clinic on 1280 WHTK. Listen and feel the pain, baby.
Welcome back to the Pain Clinic. I'm the Cash Man with DC Dan Cole, Double B Brian Burke, Peter Burke, and you. And we're going to talk about some of the things that the fallout from SummerSlam, some of the changes we've seen since the pay-per-view. But before we do that, we've got a special call. It's Baldy. How you doing, Baldy? Hey, Baldy. How's it going?
Hey, how's it going? I'm on the west side, so I hope my reception's coming in pretty clear here.
It sounds good.
Okay, yeah. So thanks very much for the Ivan Putski interview this week and the Tony Atlas interview from a couple of weeks ago. Man, it really brings me back to sitting on Nana and Papa's couch waiting Sunday night, 7 o'clock, for the
WUHF Channel 31. That's back in the
Channel 31. Yeah, before Fox bought it.
We're talking in the days when there was four channels in Rochester. There was ABC, NBC, CBS, and we had XXI. And then all of a sudden, an independent station, WUHF, started in Rochester, and that opened the world to all the wrestling fans all around Rochester to get weekly wrestling shows every Sunday night at 7 o'clock. I remember that very well.
That inspired a lot of Sunday night wrestling matches between my older brother and I, I have to say. I have to say, though, unfortunately, I came on the losing out on the losing end on a few of those. So we got a big fight this weekend. Two guys that are big wrestling fans. You could tell by the way they're promoting the fight. UFC can take definitely learn a lesson from the way these guys are really promoting this fight.
Well, I think Dana White's promoting this fight. So I think he's the star power. He's the making the machine work to promote these guys. So I think he has a lot to do with it.
Yeah, with all due respect, I think Conor McGregor is promoting this fight, and with an assist from Mayweather. It actually is McGregor Promotions, but he's the brainchild behind all of this. And as far as boxing goes, win or lose, I think this is going to be the death nail for them. Either the bigger, stronger, longer, younger, faster left-handed McGregor catches them in the first few rounds, or Mayweather dances around and shows everyone why boxing is the sweet science is a boring sport to watch. So I feel it's a lose-lose situation for boxing.
Yeah, and why Mayweather is 50-0 and has never lost doesn't get hit. So, I mean, that's if Conor McGregor can hit him, it'll be a different story, okay?
Yes.
Conor McGregor in the first three rounds is going to come out throwing everything because that's the only way. He cannot win a 12-round fight, I think, with this guy. He can win a knockout early, but he cannot win a 12-round fight.
No. It's going to turn into a dance contest. And, I mean, you know what they say about white guys. They can't really dance, so.
Okay.
But I'll tell you what, at the end of the day, people have their predictions. And I actually got a suggestion, and it's for Floyd Mayweather Jr. And that is, if you're scared, Floyd.
If he's scared, say it. I think he is. I mean, he's nervous. I mean, he has not fought in 2 years. Pardon me, I didn't really want to talk about this fight, but I mean, it's hard not to. It's the biggest thing happening this summer on pay-per-view. I'm sure a lot of you guys out there are getting it, or you're coming up Salvatore's at the garage door. Like I said, you might want to get your ticket early because they have a capacity. When they hit that, the door is not opening again. Not like they're going to put a bar in front of it, but, you know, there's a bar on the other side of it. But, I mean, not like they're going to jam the door closed. But they're not going to let you in. They're going to have a bouncer and everything. Excuse me. I'm sorry. I got this little cold I brought back from Pittsburgh last week. And did you guys see that I was texting while the show was on last week?
I did see your one text coming.
Yeah, I was listening. I was listening because it's like, I wonder what's going on. You know, I had a few minutes before. I was calling a roller derby playoff in Pittsburgh last weekend, and I'm done with that for a while, so you're not going to lose me too often. But let's talk about the fallout from SummerSlam. I don't want to talk about this McGregor thing anymore. I know it's going to be the hype for the next couple days, and then, you know, I mean, if it all goes the way we think it is, then it'll probably die a quick death, hopefully. But so we had some big changes right off the bat. John Cena's on Monday Night Raw. We discussed that earlier. We also, at NXT, unfortunately, Bobby Roode lost his title to Drew, what's his name?
Drew McIntyre.
Drew McIntyre, yeah. I keep forgetting because he was in TNA not that long ago and had another name. But and so then Bobby Roode shows up. That was exciting as heck on Tuesday when all of a sudden, you know, because I'm getting really tired of this diatribe from who's the guy that was in the ring?
Aiden English,
yeah. He just spews, you know, this diatribe every time out, and then it's like, and then the lights go down, and it's like, uh-oh.
I am sad. The one thing I loved about Aiden English's intro, and it's a shame we don't have Rob Sanderson with us on the air anymore, because Aiden English provided the future drop forever for our buddy Rob.
Yeah, I heard that the artiste.
Respect the artiste.
Yeah, I wonder if someone listened to the show or not, huh? No. Yeah, that was good. You know, and I hope Rob caught that, too, but
I do not understand one thing. I understand it, but then I don't understand why WWE chooses to use this logic and then chooses to ignore it. You'll notice that when Bobby Roode debuted, the crowd was behind him, and they played him up as the face. And it seems like that's the direction they're going to have him go in SmackDown, to be a face. Because Vince thinks that with his music, he's over. You can't boo him, so you got to make him a face. It's like, well, then why do you ignore that Roman Reigns should be your top heel right now?
Yeah, because he forces people into positions, you know? It's like, and the thing is did you really feel that was a face interview with Bobby Roode after the match? You know, it's like,
you had him debut against a heel.
Yeah, you did have a, okay, he went up against the heel, but then she went and interviewed him in the ring, and, you know, and the people were, you know, doing his playing sing along with him when he was in there. So.
And that's why.
Yeah. So
I can't have a heel with people singing along to their music. Well, look at what he's been doing in NXT for a year.
I know. It's crazy. And it's like, I never forget that introduction when we saw him in Toronto live. And
we sang along.
Yeah. The chorus was there. Everybody was singing along. But it was like, just imagine if that was someone else's theme, like it was originally supposed to be. You know, it would have changed a lot of different things. But that was great. You know, one other thing I guess I didn't mention about Raw this past week was Big Cass blowing his knee out in the middle of that match. For a second I didn't believe it, and I'm a skeptic whenever I see injuries, but you know, I went back and watched it again. Yeah, he definitely landed kind of awkward, and he had to have surgery. I saw pictures from, because I guess is he dating what's her name from SmackDown?
Carmella.
Carmella, yeah. Yeah. There's pictures that she was posting from him in the hospital bed when he was going in for surgery yesterday. So that kind of, you know, you can see him beating himself up after that point too. He's like, you know, punching the ground and stuff because he, you know, that his push just got derailed.
In the long run, he's going to be better off because his feud with Enzo is finally over.
Well, you know, and then another change, but that is Enzo debuted on Live 205.
They shipped him over to 205 Live.
I was going
to
say, that's, we talked about that about 3 weeks ago, how he said that he was going to be punished and one of three things was going to happen, and one of them was going to Live 205. Well, that's where he went. So it's like, now we don't have to listen to him on Mondays anymore. We don't sing along with him as he's coming out. Which I don't have a problem with. I think it's, I don't know. To me, it's like he's being, you know, sent to, you know, the barren wasteland of Live 205, and because we won't have to play along with them. But now that crowd, the dwindling crowd when the TV taping is going on, we'll be able to, you know, chant along with him as he's coming out now. So,
well, he could still show up on Raw every once in a while.
Yeah, well, who knows? I mean, but he won't be wrestling anybody on Raw, that's for sure. 222-1280 star, 1280 is a number. We have Floyd. Floyd from Rochester. What's up, buddy?
Hey, what's going on, buddy? After what's going on the past week as far as pro wrestling, you knew I was going to call, man. I mean, like, seriously.
I know.
Well, yo, but one thing I will tell you is that I haven't changed my mind on that one. That whole entire SummerSlam weekend, that and TakeOver, that Ember Moon and Asuka match stole the whole entire weekend.
Yeah, it's a shame. It's a shame Asuka got hurt. Asuka got hurt. She actually, to the point where she had to turn the belt in on this past week's show. So it's like, and then we'll see her debut. We're figuring that too is probably going to be Monday Night Raw when she's healthy. But yeah, of course. And Ember Moon's a great wrestler. Didn't we see that in Toronto too, guys? Did we?
Yeah. No. If I'm correct.
No, we saw Mickey James.
Mickey James, that's right. But Ember wrestled on that show too. She came out early and she was on like one of the dark matches on that show. So, no, great wrestler. I mean, I'd love to see her. I'd love to see Ember Moon put that belt on her around her waist. But go ahead.
Yeah, it does make sense. It does make sense though. But yeah, you also make sense on saying that you introduced a heel as a face. That didn't make no sense at all to me, because the most glorious thing that happened on SmackDown this week was Shelton Benjamin teaming up with Chad Gable.
Yeah, I can't wait for that. I can't wait to see that.
Yeah, that's like the new Team Angle in some cases. You call it Team America, Team Angle. You call it Team American. To be honest with you, slap a name on it. To be honest with you, that's one of the most scary. That's one of the scariest, one of the most high-flying power teams that he put together. And to be real with you, to see the old versus the present, it's kind of cool to see that happen when you have Shelton Benjamin and Chad Gable. That way Jason Jordan can go and take that title from Miz like we all want him to, period. And as far as the Cruiserweight is concerned, right, it's great to see Enzo there, but we feel like fortune tellers, because didn't we kind of like predict this? Not as punishment, but we kind of predicted that he was headed there, right?
And as punishment too a little bit, just because of some of the stories we had heard about when they toured Europe. But yeah, you know what? And I mean, maybe he can spark them. The one thing is they're having problems with getting viewership on that show. And that's why they've been starting to, that's why we've had some crossovers from Raw going over there, you know, as well as, and now we have Enzo over there. We'll see. We'll see what happens. I mean, I wish him best of luck. I would hate for them to stop doing it. That's for sure.
Oh, and a word to McGregor and Mayweather. I'm going to say it like this here, right? The promos that they've done for this fight is completely terrible. I'd rather shoot a video featuring my dog for $100. If they really want to cut a promo, they should do it like me. Take some lessons. Then maybe I'll pay $100 for a fight.
Yeah, it's going to take a lot to make me want to get it too. I'm sure there's probably some places you can find it for free out there, but maybe.
So it's nothing like Salvatore's.
That's right. That's $20 if you want to go. So I'll just put that
out there.
Cool, man.
Exactly. So on that note, until next week, my moment's up.
All right.
I'll let y'all go.
All right. Thank you so much, man. Floyd, yeah, I love your perspective, brother. We're going to take a break on that. No, we still have feeling a little Lana. So, I mean, that didn't come out right, did it? Nevertheless, let's go to break. You're listening to Pain Clinic.
It depends.
You listen to Pain Clinic on Fox. I don't want Rusev after me on Fox Sports.
I don't blame you.
1280.
Hey, this is Eric Young. You're listening to the Pain Clinic on Sports Radio 1280 WHTK. Listen and feel the pain.
Welcome back to the Pain Clinic, our last segment. Thank you so much for listening. It's great to be back. I missed doing this Saturday when I wasn't here, but hey, you guys were in very good hands, and I appreciate that, Danny. And the takeover crew that were in here with you. I like that. Who screamed takeover at the beginning? Was it you? Or?
Oh, no, that was, like, I was sitting here and I see this gleam in Eric Eminon's eye, and I exactly knew what he was looking for, so I let him handle the intro.
That was takeover! Okay, we got it. So, yeah, so that was pretty cool, though. And it was a takeover weekend. So why don't we go back to the phones and, 222-1280, star 1280. It's Troy from Rochester. What's up, Troy?
Good morning, guys. How are you?
Doing great. How you doing?
Good. First of all, I want to say that was an excellent interview with Ivan Putski. That's one of my favorite wrestlers, too.
Yeah, he was great. I mean, his Polish hammer was like, I mean, I'm still surprised nobody's picked that up as a finisher, because when you throw someone against the ropes and then you launch yourself, put your hands together and you come right into their chest, it's like, it looks like it would kill a man, okay? And so.
I used to practice that when I was younger, man. Me and my brother, we used to practice doing that. You know, when you're playing around in the bedroom or whatnot.
We used to, my brother and I used to get together and we would do this thing where we would like see if the holds really hurt. And so I remember putting him in a cobra clutch and about putting my brother out cold on the, in our living room. But he would put the figure four on me and I'd scream and cry because your knee is not supposed to go that way, you know? So some of those, I'm not telling you kids out there to do that, but just I used to do it because I was a dumb kid, so.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, I was glad to hear that interview. That was one of my favorite wrestlers growing up. excuse me. Get back to the. I'm gonna start off with the Mayweather fight. I'm gonna call an upset. I'm gonna go with McGregor.
You're going to go with McGregor. You're not the only one. There's a lot. Listen, Dana White is going with McGregor, but I got to tell you, if you saw the way that the betting tables changed yesterday in Vegas, going from now you have to spend a lot of money to make very little by betting on Floyd Mayweather. Conor McGregor, on the other hand, you spend a little money. If he wins, you get a lot. But that just shows you that the odds are not in McGregor's favor. So it's like even now everybody in the sports betting world is now, you know, I mean, you look at these numbers, they've drastically moved in the last week. So it's like Conor McGregor is not being given any credit at all. So,
Yeah, I think he's going to catch it with one good shot. And believe me, I'm a huge Mayweather fan. But I'm gonna take the upset. I'm gonna go with McGregor in this one right here.
Well, I'll tell you one thing. It certainly would set up a huge payday for both of them on the rematch. We'll say. And if Vince McMahon has anything to say about it, no.
Rematch in a steel cage?
Yeah. MMA rematch. You know, they're using the lighter gloves too, which is, I'm amazed at. The 8 ounce gloves, I think they're the lighter ones. So
yeah, it's like, the lighter ones.
The 4 ounce gloves are the ones that the UFC wears, so.
Mm-hmm. Hey guys, that SmackDown, championship match was kind of, weak to me. What you think? At SummerSlam?
I 100% agree.
Well, yeah, having the same ending every time Jinder wins is definitely weak.
Yeah. You know, I mean, you can do that. It seems like that's what they do for the first go rounds with everybody he's taken on since he's become champion, is those guys come in and finish it off and then he wins, you know, and then they have the rematch and then they have another rematch and then he's on to the next person.
I love the idea of Jinder being champion, but the fact is, his in-ring ability does not lend itself to great matches.
No.
It just doesn't.
I thought it slowed Nakamura down through most of the match. It could have been a lot better. It really could have been a lot better.
Well, Nakamura is a physical wrestler. He's a little bit, he kicks a lot. You have to, you know, you have to be prepared to be kicked a lot when you're, you know, I don't think they meshed well, but we're going to get another one, I'm sure.
Yeah, I was like, oh man, I'm glad that was before the big one they had Because that match was kind of terrible, and I'm a huge gender, I'm a huge gender fan.
Troy, say something bad about the WWE? What? No, no.
Yeah. I mean, you know, I give them props when it's props is due.
Gotcha.
But when it's bad, it's bad, and that was bad. I was like, wow.
Not wrong.
What are they doing with Bray Wyatt? Bray Wyatt it seems like he's just taking up space now.
Yeah, it's hard to explain what's going on with Bray Wyatt right now. I think he might be getting a little bit of a rest because of he made some news about a month and a half ago, or you know, getting divorced, and his wife aired some dirty laundry, and you know, I think maybe there's like, yeah, let's ease him off of TV for a little bit because right now it's, you know, but I don't know. See, I think he's been, I feel ever since they broke the Wyatt family up, he really has just been like treading water, you know? I mean, continuously for 2 or 3 years now, you know?
Mm-hmm. I'm like, maybe he should go back to his old gimmick. I mean, come out in the chair or whatnot, or whatever.
Think about this. Have you seen Luke Harper lately? Have you seen Eric Rowan lately? Have you, you know, maybe it wouldn't hurt. I mean, you know, the revisit maybe. I mean, you got the Shield, 2/3 of the Shield back together, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Hey, well, dude, we're running out of time, man. Anything else?
Maybe WWE needs an invasion to get the ratings up.
Well, from what, NXT?
Or even do like they did with the Nexus, you know, coming and taking over.
I think they're going to do that soon, aren't they? That's the
I love the invasion angle. They're starting to build an NXT right now.
Yeah.
With that trio of Ring of Honor, New Japan guys, Kyle O'Reilly, Bobby Fish, and Adam Cole.
Yeah, definitely. Oh, baby.
Baby.
All right. Hey, Troy, thank you so much for calling, man. We'll talk to you next week. Thank you so much for listening, everybody. We're back. We're school starts real soon, so we're like, you know, doing our preschool shopping this week, and then we're going to come back even more hyped up. Go check out Polish Power, Ivan Putski tonight, please, at Frontier Field. Oh, I said Silver Stadium.
Minga, you're dating yourself.
Frontier Field, as well as tomorrow at the Columbus Center for the Collector Fest monthly show. Thank you so much, Danny. Thank you so much, Double B. We'll see you next week, folks.